where we're headed this week in our time together. The Lord impressed upon me early last Sunday morning to declare 2025 a year of serving, a year of serving. And if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to access that message. I'm not going to try to go back and re-preach and retell all that. We will do a little bit of review, but basically what I communicated last Sunday morning is that I did not see this coming. It wasn't something that I had planned. I actually planned to go a different direction, but it was one of the first things the Lord spoke to my heart when I woke up last Sunday morning, is that He wanted me to do that. And of course, after some time of fellowshipping with Him and discussing His plans for this with Him, He showed me how this was not a new series or a new direction, but a practical application of the one that He's had us on now for some time. So I'll get to a Bible verse in just a moment, but one of the things the Lord said was to present it to you this way as an experiment, and to ask yourself what would happen if we committed ourselves to serving for the next 365 days. Now, if you're here every time the doors are open, 52 Sundays, 52 Wednesdays, and then, of course, other maybe events that would be throughout the year, we're looking at basically 104 to 125 opportunities to actually serve while you're here or you know, at the church. So we're not just talking about recruiting some volunteers to do some things around here on Sundays and Wednesdays, all right? We're talking about a lifestyle of serving. We're talking about tapping into who we truly are in Christ Jesus as sons and daughters of God who recognize that our role in Father's kingdom is a role of serving. And to try and simplify this, we said that, and again, things that I'm just passing along to you that the Lord impressed upon me, is that we should ask this simple question in every situation we find ourselves in: how can I help? How can I help? What can I do today to make someone else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? Amen. Amen. And we talked about asking these questions within the context of our marriages, within the context of raising our children, within the context, if you are a child still living at home, how can you make your parents' life better, easier, more enjoyable? Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. It hadn't been that long since I had children living under my roof. Amen. Are you following me? And so I know that some of you still have children living under your roof. And so parents, how can you make your children's lives better, easier, more enjoyable? And children, how can you make things easier, better, and more enjoyable for your mom and your dad? The Bible talks about, even in Hebrews 13, about attitudes and things that people who are members of the body of Christ can have towards the leadership in the body of Christ that will make their job more enjoyable, that will make their job more easier, if you will. And it has to do with my responsibility, according to the Word of God, as one who watches for your soul. Amen. And so a classic example of this would be, there are some places that I go and preach and teach that it's much easier to share the word with folks, and there are other places that I go and preach and teach, not so much. Amen. And so again, this has to do with the attitude of the people who are receiving the word, how it is received. We then, just to continue this same thought, we said to begin every day asking the question, how can I serve others today? And then at the end of the day, taking an inventory and asking the simple question, who did I serve today? Now, we had a few days to practice. Now we're 5 days into the new year. For those of you who were here last week, how are you doing so far? Amen? Are you remembering this? Are you putting this into practice? Hey, speaking of 5 days in, I had this in my announcement notes and didn't mention this, but I do feel it necessary. Amen? There are a handful of people that the Lord has placed in my life who speak into my life on a regular basis and really mentors, men who I look to, and very thankful for those men. And two of those men are having birthdays today. That would be my brother Matt and my brother Donald. And so they're both born on January the 5th. How cool is that? Amen. So happy birthday, Donald. Happy birthday, Matt. And you guys are truly a gift to me and to this family of faith in the leadership that you offer. It's a servant leadership, a servant's heart that you men set an example for all of us to follow and learn from, certainly myself included. So we love you. Happy birthday to you guys, and thank you for all that you mean to me. Yes, give them a hand. Praise God. So both prophets, they don't go around wearing a t-shirt that says I'm a prophet, but those men both speak prophetically. And if they ever have a word for you, I would highly, highly recommend that you listen to them, okay? And certainly they have spoken into my life prophetically, and I'm very thankful, and I'm a better man because of it. Amen. So how can I serve others today? Who did I serve today? So start the day with how can I serve, end the day with who did I serve. And I want you to make this a practice where you do it on a daily basis, because, again, it's if you know anything about New Year's resolutions, and I'm not even liking to connect this with that same concept, but New Year's resolutions, we tend to lose sight of those after the first, you know, week or so of a new year. And the one way that I think we can continue and shoot for 365 days of serving is if we discipline ourselves to ask the question at the beginning of the day, how can I serve others today? How can I make somebody else's life better, easier, more enjoyable today? And then take the inventory at the end of the day. Who did I serve today? And one of the things that I haven't really gotten into, maybe we will here before we're done this morning with all of this, is I want you to do this. The Lord wants us to do this because He's wanting us to see how He increases us and our ability to do more and more for other people. We could say all the beautiful things Scripture has to say about Jesus, and He's certainly deserving of all of those flowery, beautiful words and more, all right? But we could also really simplify Jesus by saying this, okay? Jesus was an anointed problem solver, okay? Jesus was anointed by His Father to solve people's problems on planet Earth, amen? And He solved a lot of people's problems, and He's still solving people's problems today. Are you with me? Amen. And so I want you to begin to think of yourself in that same vein, amen, that you also now have the same Spirit that was given to Jesus that raised Him from the dead. You've been anointed by God to solve other people's problems, amen, to solve other people's problems. And part of this is the enemy wants you to be so focused on your own problems that you are never really even interested in trying to help somebody else solve theirs. Amen. But one of the things that I've learned in my life is that if you will get the focus off of yourself and get it on God and other people and be more concerned in putting the interest of other people ahead of your own with helping other people solve their problems, it opens a door for Father God to have access to your life and to solve your problems while you're busy taking care of somebody else. It's amazing what He can do in your own life. Amen. Amen. And so there are so many things that are connected with and joined to serving other people that are byproducts of serving other people, that are activated in our lives when we serve other people. Amen. And that we're missing out on if we are not developing this life of serving. Now, I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll begin with this verse. I don't know if this is going to be our cornerstone verse for this entire study or not, but it's definitely where we're going to, where we began last week, and I want us to begin here again this week. And it's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. And the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, says, "For through by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, what we see from other places in the word of God is that if we are a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, we deceive ourselves. And why is that? Well, the Bible says, "Today, if you will hear the voice of God, Do not harden your hearts as in the days of provocation. What is he talking about there? He's talking about people who consistently heard from God, heard instructions from God through his word to them. And when they would hear those instructions, when they would hear those words from God, it would excite them, it would encourage them, it would give them hope, it would make them feel better about themselves, it would make them feel better about their situations. But because they never actually acted upon those words, amen, nothing ever changed in their lives, and it actually had an opposite effect, because when we hear the word and we don't do anything in response to the word, the Bible says we desensitize ourselves and make it a little more difficult for God to speak to us the next time and the next time and the next time. And so this is the tie-in back to the hardened heart. And you remember, this was one of the problems that Jesus's inner circle of disciples had. Jesus said that these men's hearts were still hardened. And these were men who walked away from businesses to follow Jesus. These were men who had made great sacrifices to follow Jesus. And yet Jesus said their hearts were hardened. And you know, when you look at their willingness to serve and their willingness to do, you think, well, okay, I don't really see a hardened heart here, but obviously Jesus is right and we're wrong, which means we need to look deeper into this, right? Their hearts were still hardened. And so when we look at what he's saying here in Hebrews 5, we see people who have heard the answers they've been looking for over and over and over again. Didn't say they were not knowledgeable. It says they were unskilled, meaning they've never taken the word of God that they've heard and put it into practice in their lives. And because of that, they've remained in this constant state of immaturity, in this perpetual state of immaturity, meaning they've been locked into a level of growth and development that they haven't been able to break free from. And because of that, not only are they missing out on all that God desires to produce in their lives and bring forth from their lives, but other people who would also benefit from the good things that God has put in them are missing out as well. The body of Christ is missing out. And of course, this word, babe, is the word nepios that we've been talking about now for months. And it doesn't mean the offspring of God, but it means someone who's been born of God, but still has the understanding of a darkened understanding, someone who doesn't understand the way, meaning they don't see things the way God would have them see them, and therefore they're missing out on all that God would have them to experience and enjoy and do in life. Are you still with me? So there's a lot here that we'll hopefully circle back around to, but the bottom line is he's pointing to a problem of perpetual immaturity, ongoing immaturity, despite having been in the church for a very long time. He's talking to a group of people who are still immature. And sadly, this is one of the great problems in the body of Christ to this day. Lots of God's people are still immature. Lots of God's people are still nepios, despite being born again and attending church for many years. Okay? And so we have to ask ourselves, why is this? If this is an ongoing problem, if this is a very serious problem holding back many of God's people, and then also, listen, what affects one of us affects all of us. We're individual members of the same body. And in order for the entire body to be effective, the individual members of the body must be effective. In order for the entire body to grow, the individual members of the body must grow. Amen. And Father God how do I say this? You know, we sometimes want to get things done and move on. You know, Father God is not just interested in getting it done and moving on. He's interested in our individual growth and development and the individual growth and development of the body of Christ. Amen. That there would be a body in the earth that Jesus comes back to receive that is fitting for him as our head. That there would be a bride of Christ in the earth that is fitting for the groom when he comes back to get us. Amen. Are you with me? And remember, Jesus is not coming back until the gospel is preached to all the earth. Amen. To every nation, to every people group on planet earth. Which, that again, do you see how we came back around to serving? Amen. Because in order for the word of God to be preached, then people are going to have to serve. Amen. And so serving is an integral part of our growth and development. As a matter of fact, there are places you will never grow up into in the body of Christ unless and until you learn to serve. Amen. And so that's one of the key tie-ins that I want the Holy Spirit to breathe upon in our hearts and lives. from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. So let me, I want to make this encouraging and not discouraging, always, okay? But if you look at the statistics, if you look at the trends, if you look at the history, if you look at the even the surveys and the polls and things of this nature, and a lot of God's people have no interest in serving. A lot of God's people, people who confess to be Christians, people who confess to attend church, and listen, it's, I guess it could be different in different places, but the one number that has held, steady is somewhere between 10 and 15% of the people that are a part of a local church do, 85 to 90% of the work. It's getting quiet up in here. I'm just, amen. It's not pleasant to talk about, but that's just the bottom line of it, okay? And this says, I wish I could tell you that this has gotten better over the years, but actually it's actually headed a little bit in other words, a fewer number of the people doing, the majority of the work. And so, you know, some might say, well, Pastor, that's kind of how it is at my place of employment. Ha, 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 ha. Well, listen, but that's different, right? It should not be so named among God's people. Amen. Amen? All right, so praise God. So lots of God's people are still nepios. And listen, I'm not saying this is the only reason, but I believe, according to Hebrews 5 and other verses, that one of the main reasons that many of God's people are still in a perpetual state of immaturity is because they refuse to serve. Or because they view serving as optional and only do it when it's convenient for them. Okay. And then we also have a large portion of the body of Christ that at the same time of refusing to serve, they insist on being served. Amen. They insist on being served. I said they insist on being served. And if they don't think they're being served effectively, they will very quickly leave your church to go find one where they think will serve them better. The attitude is not, I'm here to serve. The attitude is, I'm here to be served. And if you don't serve me the way I think you should serve me, I will go very quickly and find somebody else who will serve me the way I need to be served. Listen, amen. This is a problem. Listen, well, they're going to hell. No, they're not going to hell. Listen to me, please. I know people get stirred up about this, all right? Now, I told you last week and I'll tell you again this week, okay? Going to heaven one day is not based upon how well or how much you served on earth, okay? Your right standing with God is based upon a gift you were given. Now, your rewards, that's something entirely different. Your rewards are based upon what you did with what you were given, okay? Amen. But you don't, and I know some folks don't like that. Religiously minded folks don't like it when somebody says something like that. You know, you don't have to serve anybody to go to heaven. You don't. You don't. Who did the thief on the cross serve? Nobody. I mean, he just got through. I don't tell what he did. He just, you know, more than likely stole from somebody else or committed some crime worthy of being the death penalty. So he wasn't a giver. He was a taker. Are you following what I'm saying? So this idea that you know, we got to do all this service and hopefully one day if we just do enough, we'll make it into heaven. My friend, you haven't read your Bible. You don't understand salvation in the new birth. Okay. But if we're talking about growing up into and experiencing all that Father God has done for us and has given to us and benefiting from it personally and others benefiting from the gifts and calling that He's put within each one of us. Now, again, this requires growth, development, and maturity, which is directly connected to our willingness to serve and to serve consistently. Let me say it a few other ways, okay? We cannot grow up into Christ apart from serving. And that's what he talks about in Ephesians. He talks about us growing up into Christ Jesus in all things. He says we've put on Christ Jesus in Galatians 4. Now that we've put him on and we're in him and he's in us, now we're growing up into him. We're growing up into him. And we can only grow up into him so far without significantly shifting from being served to serving others. So we can say it this way. Serving is essential for spiritual growth and development. And this word essential, it means absolutely necessary. Serving is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth and development. If something is absolutely necessary something else to be realized in your life, then that means there's no other substitute for it. Okay? Now, when we are young and immature, our growth and development is dependent upon those who serve us and care for us. Amen. Think baby, think infant, think toddler. And that's what he said about those men and women in Hebrews chapter 5. They were young and immature, and their development was dependent upon those who serve and cared for them, what somebody else could teach them, what somebody else could do for them, how somebody else could help them. And listen, this is not to say that we don't need other people's help. We do. This is not to say that we don't need other people to care for us and to serve us, especially when we're baby Christians, especially when we're new to the things of God, and we need others who are more mature and more developed to love us and to teach us and to help us. Amen. This keeps bouncing up in my spirit. It's not in my notes, but there's a gentleman who really spoke into my life. The Foundry paid for me to go out to Seattle, Washington many years ago and train for a week with a man named Michael Dye. Michael Dye went home to be with Jesus in 2024. Michael Dye wrote the curriculum that we use. One of the main curriculums we use at the Foundry is called the Genesis Process. And Michael Dye said something over and over again, I think the quote is in my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction, but it really impacted me, and I want to give you that quote in relationship to all that we're talking about right now. He said, programs do not change people. Programs do not change people. If programs changed people, surely we would have developed a program by now that would take a broken person in the front door and send a whole person out the back. People's lives are changed. This is Michael Dye, I'm still quoting him. People's lives are changed when one person is willing to invest their life into another. Amen. This is when change, right, is realized. This is where change is realized. And so you can take a baby Christian and you can do for them and help them and serve them and be a blessing to them. And that will help them grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But as long as somebody else is serving you and taking care of you and you are not serving other people and helping take care of other people, your growth will be limited. You will only grow and develop to a certain point. And you'll never break beyond that. And that's what he's talking about in Hebrews 5. He says, listen, you guys have been taught these things so many times. Notice now, they've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, but they haven't heard it yet. Right? They still don't understand. In other words, it hasn't changed the way they see things. It hasn't changed their understanding. They still have the understanding, a darkened understanding, even though they've heard enough truth, they've heard enough of the Word of God, to understand well enough to teach other people, it keeps getting stolen from them. That word keeps getting, it's like they've never heard it before. It's like they just keep going back and living the same day over and over and over again, right? Despite having heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. What's missing? What's missing is the action. What's missing is the development of the skill. What's missing is their willingness to take what they've heard and begin to apply it to their lives and begin to help other people apply it to theirs. Now, again, when we're young and immature, our growth and development is dependent upon those who serve and care for us. But we reach a point in both our physical and spiritual development where continued growth depends upon taking the step of doing things for yourself. Right? So we start out, we need somebody to serve and take care of us. But then as we grow, now we don't have to have somebody else pray for us. We're learning how to pray for ourselves. We're learning how to study the scriptures and find truth and revelation from the Holy Spirit for ourselves. Thank God for teachers and men and women in our lives who speak into our lives. But God also wants you to have time of fellowship with Him where you get before Him in prayer and with the Word of God, and He's able to speak directly to you. Do you remember when God spoke to the children of Israel coming out of slavery in Egypt? And they didn't like it. They told Moses, they said, look, Moses, tell him not to speak directly to us anymore. You tell God that if there's something he wants us to know, he can tell you and you can tell us. Well, did those people ever grow up? No, that generation never grew up into the things of God. because they wanted to get everything third party. They wanted to get everything second hand. Now listen, we grow and develop. I listen to a lot of different preachers and teachers and people that speak into my life. I'm not saying that's bad or wrong. But at some point, my brother, my sister, when is the last time you've had the Bible open and fellowshipping with God and He's spoken to you, directly to you from the Word of God? See, again, this is now where you don't need somebody else to always feed you, but now you're learning just like a child. You're learning to feed yourself. Okay? But now a giant step towards greater maturity is when you move beyond yourself and begin to serve someone else. Right? So we go from needing somebody to do everything for us to where now, you know, and again, that's a gradual where we go where we need less and less to be done for us and we're able to do more and more for ourselves. Now, but see, this is where a lot of people, they think that's the highest level of growth in the body of Christ. That I can hear from God for myself. Okay? That I can pray for myself. Okay? Yes, that's huge. That's huge growth. I don't know the percentages, but that's a lot more than a lot of folks in the body of Christ are able to do. But that's not the end all be all. That's not where, okay, we finally got to the point where we can pray for ourselves, we can hear from God for ourselves, and hallelujah, I've arrived. No, now the next step is you begin to serve and do for others. That is the giant leap forwards, if you will, towards greater maturity. And here's the thing. You will never grow and develop until you take this step. Amen. Your maturity and development in the things of God. See, listen to me, please. I know I'm passionate about this, and I apologize if I got a different tone in my voice. I want this to be happy and cheerful. But there's so much going on here. There's so much at stake here that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to see and to realize and to understand. Are you with me? So one of the classic symptoms of immaturity, perpetual immaturity in the body of Christ, is where we're constantly asking God and others to do for us what He's already done for us. We're constantly asking other people to help us with things that God has already helped us with, that He's already given to us, He's already done for us, He's already blessed us with, right? But now notice, see, we don't understand that we've already been given all things to that pertain to life and godliness. So we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. By His stripes we were healed. Are you following me? See, that's an understanding problem. That's a nepios problem. That's a darkened understanding problem. And so because of this now, we're constantly thinking that we need God or somebody else to do for us what He's already done for us, that we need somebody else to give us what God has already given to us. Are you following me? Thank you, Jesus. I said this on a conference call not too long ago with our ministers in Africa, and I'm going to say it again. And I was like, Lord, that was strong. You know, I'm not trying to be strong here, you know, but if we're not careful, there's this mindset that God can only bless and prosper and increase somebody if they're in America. And Pastor Bill Winston, you know, somebody said to him, they said, well, you know, he can have an airplane because he's an American. And he looked at those men, he said, God's not an American. God's not an American, but notice now, the difference is not that God is an American and He favors Americans more than He favors other people of other nations. For that matter, it's not about American or African or German or whatever. It's about kingdom. It's about kingdom. But if there is any advantage, is the understanding that we have in America of wealth and prosperity, and are you following me? Amen. This idea that's a land of opportunity. God's kingdom is the kingdom of opportunity. It's not just that America's a land of opportunity. But notice we were raised in a world, not all of us, but some of us were raised in in America, we're told you can be anything you want to be, do anything you want to do. That's really not biblical. I mean if you're in the kingdom, it's not about anything you want to do, it's about the plan God has for your life. Amen. But in other words, we're not born into this mindset, you know, that our lives are going to be limited because of this and that or the other. Amen. But that's understanding. Are you following me? That's not just an American thing. That's an understanding thing. Okay, I'm getting too far off of where I need to be right now, so let me get back to this. So we see it then, and the Bible uses these terminology. There's a typo there, I apologize. That should be I-E-S instead of E-I-S on babies. Babies, they're totally dependent upon others to prepare and feed them their food. Children need someone to help prepare their food but can feed themselves. Adults can prepare a meal and feed it to others. And so are we spiritual babies? Are we spiritual children? Or are we becoming spiritual adults? If you wait until you know how to use a fork before using one, you'll never use a fork. That's been one of the hardest things for watching. I don't know, for some reason it wasn't that hard for my children, but my grandchildren, I mean, just watch them like get the bite almost to their mouth and drop it. I'm like, here, baby, let me just let granddaddy help you, you know, again, all right? But see, again, you can't wait till you know how to use a fork before trying to use one. And if you wait until you're mature enough spiritually to serve God and others, you're never going to mature. I think this is one of the things the enemy tries to use against us is, you're not ready. I mean, you're not ready to help others. You're not, man, you still got all kind of junk in your life you got to figure out or whatever. And so we're waiting to grow and develop and get some junk out of our lives before we help anybody else. We don't understand that if we would just start, you know, sacrificing and stop being so focused on our own selves and start trying to do something for somebody else, that's what opens up the door, the avenue, if you will, for God to be able to help us resolve some of the other issues in our own lives. But instead, we kind of get caught in this vicious cycle. So at some point, you know, this is why I'm going back to it. 365 days of serving. Don't despise small beginnings. Simple things that you can do to help serve your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your neighbor. Are you following me? Okay. Simple things that you can do. Simple things that you can do. Getting up and turning off the bathroom fan because your wife left it on. Simple things you can do. Are you hearing me? Don't despise small beginnings. But we're not going to stay small. That's the part that the Lord's wanting us to see, I think, in all this as well. Is that we start with small things and we're going to build some momentum. And next thing you know, we're laying hands on the sick and the sick are recovering. Amen. All right. So we know then that faith without works is dead. Jesus taught us the difference is in the doing. He said, you got two men. One heard these sayings of mine and did them, and he was like a man who built his house upon the rock, dug deep and built his house upon the rock. Another man heard these sayings of mine, did not do them. When the rain came, the floods rose, the winds blew, his house, one man's house stood, one man's house fell. It was like he built on the sand. So two identical situations. The only difference between one life and the other is that one man heard and did, the other man heard and did not do. So the difference Jesus is emphasizing there is in the doing, right? So Jesus taught us the difference is in the doing. Doing is at the heart of serving. Or we can say it another way, you cannot serve without doing. You cannot serve without doing. Now, where is our time going? It's already 11:46. Praise God. All right. Let's get this part right here. And then we'll save the rest because we're still going to do communion together. Amen. This is very important, okay? Serving places a demand on the otherworldly potential inside every born-again believer. Places a demand on the potential, otherworldly potential. All right, what do I mean by otherworldly? We're talking about something that is divine. Where's the kingdom? It's inside of you. Father, it's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is in you. We talk about the inward realities of the new birth. And everything that is true about you now as a born-again child of God, not will be given, but has been given. Are you with me? I don't have time to go through all that. Inward Realities of the New Birth is a sermon series. It would take hours to even scratch the surface of all that is within you. What is potential? Potential is what you're capable of doing but have not yet done. What you're capable of becoming but have not yet realized. So it exists within us in the form of potential. There is enough potential. There is enough potential within a single born-again son or daughter of God to change a nation. That's not an exaggeration. That's not an exaggeration. And we could go back and even look at what God did with one person and the impact that one person made. Amen. Amen. So we have otherworldly potential inside of us. Jesus said in His name you would raise the dead. In His name you would cast out demons. In His name you would heal the sick. In His name you would cleanse the leper. In His name. Because His name is in you. He's put His name in you. He's put His authority in you. He's put His power in you. He's put His spirit in you. He's put His word in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in you. So again, there's no way to exaggerate the otherworldly potential that's in us. The question then becomes, how do we tap into it? How do we tap into this great potential? We do so by serving. Serving places a demand on the otherworldly potential inside every born-again believer. Amen. Now, I'm feeling this compressed time here, so let me take a deep breath and relax. Amen. It's more important than time. More important than lunch. Okay, stay with me. We were created by God to live from the inside to the outside. Most people on planet Earth, including most of God's children, they're trying to live from the outside to the inside. Everything you will ever need in this life and the one that is to come has already been given to you and is already inside of you right now. This is why Jesus could say, you will do the works that He does and greater works because He goes to His Father. This is why Jesus said, you would lay your hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Do you realize laying your hands on the sick and the sick recovering, that is an act of service. You are serving. Let's go back to an anointed problem solver. Somebody's got a sickness. Amen. You're going to help solve that problem for them with the kingdom resources already inside of you. There is healing inside of you. How does the healing inside of you flow from your spirit out your fingertips into somebody else's body? It's got to pass through your part of you that your Bible calls your understanding. It's got your soul as a valve that either shuts it off and keeps it bottled up inside or is opened up and lets it flow through you. Serving is one of the key ways that we bust through that barrier or break through that darkened understanding. 1 John says that when we love in action, that we assure our hearts before God. What happens? Every act of service will serve to confirm what the Bible has already said to you about who you are and what's inside of you. This is why doctors who don't even believe in God will tell you one of the greatest solutions to depression is doing something for somebody else. If you struggle with depression, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to try to figure out how to serve 368 days out of 365. This isn't just me reading a Bible verse. I'm telling you what modern day psychological research has proven is that a non-medicinal answer for clinical depression is doing something for somebody else. Because what's happened when you're doing that? You're reversing that everything's outside of you is closing in on you and it's overwhelming you. And notice that's a worldview that says I'm living from the outside to the inside. Now all of a sudden you're going to do something for somebody else, you've reversed the flow. You're going from the inside to the outside. You're doing something from your heart for somebody else, and it's flowing out of you. It's flowing through you, and it's developing a channel where more and more, that's why we're not despising small beginnings, but we're not just stopping with simple acts of service. I believe if we will serve others and commit ourselves to serving others 365 days a year, sometime around July, we'll start healing the sick. See what I'm saying? Because now we're not looking at, you know, what, you know, it's like, well, you know, I've already done everything else for them. Let's see if we can do this for them. And guess what? Assuring your hearts before Him, it's confirming that that is actually you. This is you. This is who you are. This is what's in you. This is what you're on this earth to do. Notice you're experiencing it. If you wait until you are mature enough to do it, you'll never be mature enough to do it. Well, I'm just waiting on a word from God. How many do you need? Amen. Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, y'all come on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Serving places a demand on the otherworldly potential inside every born-again believer. Some of you heard me teach on this placing a demand thing, and this is the example that I often use when I talk about a demand being placed on our potential. The only reason I know today that 7 times 8 is 56 is because when I was younger, someone placed a demand on my potential to learn my multiplication tables. I would have never went on a beautiful summer afternoon, went and sat under a dogwood tree in our backyard with my brother and my sister and said, hey, I know what we can do today. Let's learn our multiplication tables. I've never done that, right? I'd have rather ridden my bike or my skateboard or built a tree house or rolled in the dirt or played kickball or something, right? Why do I know 7 times 8 is 56? 6 times 6 is 36. Why do I know 4 times 6 is 24? Why do I know that today? I know that today because when I was younger, someone placed a demand on my potential to learn it and know it. Okay? Serving places a demand on our potential. Now, those are strong words, placing a demand. You know, place no demand on me. See, again, this comes back to another beautiful byproduct of serving is we develop a lifestyle of humility. You can't truly serve without truly being humble. Amen. And humble is the master key to life, and humble is the way to get more and more help and grace from God. Again, all this is in future messages on this subject, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Serving places a demand on the potential, otherworldly potential, inside every born-again believer. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're saying to us. Thank you, Father, that we've been given ears to hear it, eyes to see it, hearts to understand and receive it, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we're just absolutely getting fired up, as a younger generation would say, cranked up or crunked up about serving and learning how to serve and getting better at serving and doing, Lord, what you have put in us, the good works that we were created in Christ Jesus to do. Lord, simple acts of kindness and service to people we know and people that we don't. But, Father, beginning there and each step setting in motion and even helping build momentum towards the greater works that you would have us do to change our world for your glory, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, in this family of faith here at Heritage Christian Center. And Father, thank you that you are getting us ready, amen. Not just for the return of Jesus, but you are getting us ready, Father, for all that you have planned and prepared for us, all that you've seen us doing before we were ever formed in our mother's wombs, the hopes and dreams that you have for each one of us, Father. We do not want to be children who disappoint, but Father, we want to be children who live up to the great potential that you've placed within us. Help us do that, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask those who are serving communion if you would come at this time.